Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Get Focused Radio, a show designed to help you refocus when life gets in the way. It is Thursday, May 31st, and I'm your host, Kate Hennessy, coming to you live from the beautiful historical downtown Bowmanville, Ontario. Please be sure to check out my website at getfocusedradio.com. I have a lot of things to share with you and many upcoming really great events coming up. Now, every Thursday at 11:30 a.m., my show Get Focused will be featured weekly here on blogtalkradio.com. The topic of our show today is, Are You Really Happy? With my very special guest, Lori Bischoff. Author Lori Bischoff has written an inspiring book called Common Sense Happiness and has received her life coaching certification at the Southwest Institute of Healing Arts in Arizona. This is Arizona's award-winning, nationally accredited private holistic healthcare college. In 2007, Lori and her sister created a motivational live event for mothers called Motherhood Redefined to help them learn strategies to have a more balanced and fulfilling life. This event was the launching point of Lori's career as a life coach. Lori has been married to the same amazing man since 1984, and they have two wonderful, all grown-up children. And Lori spends her time coaching, writing, learning, developing new projects, staying healthy and fit, and just overall enjoying the fantastic adventure of life. Before we meet Lori, I want to share with our listeners our call-in number so you can have the opportunity to call in with your questions. That number is 646-200-3268 and hit 1 to speak with us. Lori, welcome to the show. How's the weather in Wyoming?
Hi, Kate. Thank you. The weather here is gorgeous today, I'm happy to say, especially since about a week ago we had snow.
Oh, yeah, it could be like Canada. First
right.
of all, the fact that you've been married to the same man for 28 years is amazing to me. I'm like the Elizabeth Taylor of Bowmanville here. All of my marriages could add up to yours. So, wow, kudos to you. 28 years. That's a long time to be married
to
one man.
By today's standards, it really is
a long time.
Your
children are unusual. They're the only kids in the class that their parents are together.
Yeah, they're the minority now, or they were.
Yes. Yeah. Sad. I mean, that's a sad statement, but it is true.
Yeah. I agree, and I feel just absolutely blessed that we have found, you know, a formula that works so well for us, and things just seem to keep getting better and better. So we're just having a great time. We're enjoying such a wonderful journey together. I can't imagine, you know, I can't imagine not being in this state with my husband. So.
Isn't that now? And that's so refreshing. That's lovely to hear, and so refreshing. Again, like I am the Elizabeth Taylor. I'm just so thrilled that I wake up after 5 years and it's still the same man there. I'm so excited every day. Oh look, you're still here. Oh great. Okay, so
one day at a time.
One day, exactly. That's right. It's like AA for me, only in marriage. Tell me, Lori. I didn't get a chance to read the whole book, but I did get to go through a lot of it, and it is truly, and the word is overused, inspiring, but an inspiring book. What made you want to write this book?
Well, really, for that reason, right there, I really felt a loud calling to inspire other people because of the fact that I am a really happy person. I can't imagine living in any other state. I live in a state of happiness. I live in a happy bubble, if you will. And I don't want people to misinterpret that as to say I don't ever have, you know, a moment of sadness or anger or frustration or any other,
right.
you know, regular feeling that people have when they're dealing with life. But that's different. Those are emotions that come and go inside of the overall state of still being happy, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's some key things that I've learned over the years that have really helped me maintain my happy bubble. And I thought, you know, I just really want to share these in my voice, and hopefully they'll be able to inspire a lot of other people to find their happy bubble too.
And okay, so you call the book Common Sense Happiness, right? And that, I mean, that's a great title. Why that? Like, what makes that common sense? And what are you writing about with regards to common sense happiness?
Right. Well, and it's because, you know, as I was really sorting through the basic recurring themes in my life, the things that I have always used as my tools and strategies to, you know, stay in a fulfilled and happy place, I realized they really are common sense. It's just that simple. The principles are not newfangled cosmic concepts. They're not rocket science. They're not hard for people to embrace. They're basic and simple, yet commonly overlooked because people get so sucked into the minutiae of, you know, drama and stuff that they have to deal with that they just forget about some really basic principles that if they have a nice simple reminder can really help them, you know, pull themselves out of the yuck and stay in a place that's more joyful.
You and I kind of touched base on this when we spoke the other day, and I had said to you that for some people, you know, if you look at Lori Bischoff, and who is Lori Bischoff? Well, she's been married forever to the same man. She has two really good children. It doesn't look as though there's been a whole lot that has happened to you that would be a real, you know, kick in the rear. And so someone might say, well, what makes you qualified to write about being happy? You're happy.
Right.
What has happened to you in your life that really has pulled you down that would say, oh, well, look, I've come out the other end? Because it looks as though you've just kind of, as you said, you're in this happy bubble. Has that been Lori's life always? And so how can you tell other people whose lives aren't quite as wonderful, who haven't been married as long or children aren't as terrific, you know, how are you telling us, okay, look, I may not have suffered as much as you, but I am still qualified to tell you how to be happy using common sense? What qualifies you to do that?
Right. Well, I think that, first of all, I do live this way. I live in a happy state. It's my experience of life, and I'm a pretty typical person with a pretty typical upbringing, and I have gone through a lot of the common life experiences that a lot of people do go through. You know, I was when I was a teenager, my parents divorced, and when maybe about 6 years ago, in his early 60s, my father, who had become an alcoholic, discovered he had a brain tumor that needed to be removed. It was about the size of a lemon, or he was going to go blind. But because of his poor health condition, he was unable to withstand the surgery unless he cleaned himself up, which he did. Got himself healthy enough and clean so that he could go through this very tricky surgery, made it through with flying colors, and then proceeded to drink himself to an early grave in his mid-60s. So, you know, my mother-in-law battled cancer and finally succumbed to that as well. So there have been, you know, things that myself and my family have dealt with also. But I think the thing is we all deal with those experiences in our own way. And we all apply certain meaning to those experiences. Now, just because we don't walk in each other's shoes and we haven't had identical experiences, it doesn't change the reality of what we do have in common right now.
Right.
What is going on today? And today, We're here, we're alive, and we all have the same choices. We all have the choice on how we want to live from this day forward. We all have a choice, again, on the meaning that we're going to apply to our past experiences and our present experiences. And we can choose whether or not we're going to remain living in a reactive state that's broken and sad and feeling like a victim and woe is me, or we can choose if we're going to, you know, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and open our minds to some new tools and strategies and perspective that possibly we can all, you know, make our lives more amazing. We can recreate the maze of the life that we live in. So I think that's the key right there, is even though we haven't all walked in each other's shoes in the past, we're still all here right now, and we still have the same choices when every morning when we wake up and open our eyes and go, what am I going to do today? How do I choose to feel about everything today?
What's going on today? You really, in your book, you put down that you really believe that it is possible to be happy all the time. Do you really believe that? That it is possible to be happy all the time?
I absolutely believe it. I do. And again, it's kind of going back to that thing I said earlier, which it doesn't mean that you don't have unpleasant emotions. I mean, there's just, you know, that's part of life. So it doesn't mean that you don't experience sadness or anger or fear or frustration, but happiness is much more than an emotion. It is a state of being. So I think that, you know, we're all human, so naturally we're going to find ourselves in situations that evoke feelings that don't feel good. But if you're emotionally fit and you understand how to reel in those emotions, you're still a happy person overall, even in those instances when you're feeling temporarily unhappy. It's mm-hmm. like the sun is still shining even if it's a cloudy day.
Right. And we touched on this the other day, too, with regards to, you said there are two kinds of people in this world, people who are chronically unhappy, the whiners, the complainers, and then there are people who are able to stay happy no matter what life throws at them. Now, when we talk about the whining, complaining, bitching people that we all tend to have in our life at some point, mm-hmm. right, do we get rid of them?
No, you get them my book. You just give them the book.
And no. If they bitch about the book, then we hit them with the book. No, we don't hit them with the book. But but there are always going to be those people that, you know, they come in and you learn, and I think it's a learning process. Unfortunately, it's an as-you-get-older one that younger people hate to hear, but I believe it is true that in our lives, you know, you have a group of people around you that you're comfortable with, mm-hmm. and there's going to be one or two of them that are constantly negative, mm-hmm. down, like it just doesn't matter. And at some point in your life, you go, you know what, you're sucking the life out of me.
Right.
I can't have you around me, and you can't even explain it to them. You just divorce them. I mean, and I'm saying that with anybody, man, woman, child. You have to let them go.
Right. And depending on who the person is, you know, you can say let them go, and that can mean different things. You know, if it's somebody that's not part of your close inner circle or relationships, you know, it may be hard to actually physically and emotionally cut them out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
There are fringe people that you can certainly do that with. You can just sort of, you know, wean them off of you because they are like energy vampires and they will suck the life out of you.
Energy
not
vampires.
Not necessarily intentionally.
That.
Right. But that's what they're doing. And I think that, you know, again, those people are kind of like energy vampires. So you do have to learn to protect yourself, and you have to learn to recognize when that's happening, when you're feeling drained or, you know, you're starting to roll your eyes in your mind thinking, oh, thank God, here, you know, he or she goes again. So if it's someone that you're not going to cut out of your life, you know, there's a couple things you can do. You can just know that that's how they are, and when you are going to be in their presence, if you go into it with that frame of mind and go, you know, this is the gift I'm going to give them. I'm going to give them the gift of just listening, because maybe these people, for whatever reason, just need to be heard. So
yeah.
I'm going to do that. That's one thing you can do. You can also, my favorite thing to do, and you have to read your audience for this. You really got to know the person. But I like to use humor. I might just say to somebody, good grief, you know, did you get up on the wrong side of the bed yet again? You know, don't you, I'm exhausted just listening to you. Could you please stop itching?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, again, it's read your audience. Now, some people might, you may not be able to get away with that because it just might be too hurtful. Some people might go, oh, well, all right. I'm glad you pointed it out. I mean, you really got to know, and you don't have to be that direct. But I think using humor is a really good way to sort of point something out to somebody that might start planting seeds. You know what I mean? In a lighthearted way.
I know one of my favorite things, and it's not a very nice thing to say, but I do tend to say it sometimes if I have a, you know, I told you the other day that when I turned 40, I thought I was having hot flashes, and they turned out to be contractions. And so I have a 30-year-old at the top of the end of six children and a 13-year-old. Who does that? I tell you, who does that? And I often say to her, because I'm going through this wonderful, and I'm so looking forward to the next 4 years. Did someone pee in your cornflakes this morning? Because you are just nasty, right? And
perfect.
I told you, that's why they made boarding school, right? That's where 13-year-olds should go for 4 years. But, you know, and I've said to her, I want her, if I can actually get her to read something other than her phone, it would be wonderful if we could get some of the younger ones to read this book, because you've got five life amazing principles.
Right.
And I want everyone who's listening to grab a pencil and a piece of paper, and I'd like you to tell us what they are, because they're so simple.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking simple, but just to the point. They're just bang on.
Yes. And that's exactly what I kept in mind. I wanted the principles and the whole read to be like, you know, if you were sitting here like you and I are doing right now and just having a conversation. And so the principles, five simple principles, and I'll go through, I'll just touch on each one real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Principle one is called happy, to be or not to be. And that is basically letting readers know that the first thing you really need to understand is that you must make a decision. You must decide that you want and deserve to be happy. So until you make that firm decision and then commit to doing whatever it takes to achieving that, you're going to remain searching through, you know, your life maze, thinking maybe eventually you'll stumble across it, or maybe somebody else is going to supply it for you. That's principle one.
Mm-hmm.
Principle two is called hold your power. And this principle is about learning the secrets for how to gain control over your thoughts and emotions so that they're not running amok. Because that's how, you know, your thoughts are what create your emotions. So once you figure out, you know, the chain reaction that occurs and how you can manipulate that and control it, you're going to be able to keep yourself in a much happier state of being.
Mm-hmm.
All right, principle three is called make shift happen. This principle
make shift happen?
Yes, shift. Let's make sure S-H-I-F-T. I tried to have my I tried to edit out all of my really bad sailor mouth words. So
shift happens. Okay.
Right. So make shift happen is principle three, and this principle is really teaching us how to shift our perspective. It's about having the choice on on how we're going to see things, the meaning we're going to apply to things, and how that can really set us free from unnecessary suffering, even when it feels like things are out of your control.
Yeah.
Principle 4 is called change your chain. And changing your chain really refers to disengaging from what's weighing you down, from negative things that you've tethered yourself to. So this chapter is going to guide people through how to identify what their chains are,
mm-hmm.
And then figure out, you know, what are the good ones, what should stay, and what's got to go.
Yeah.
The last principle is called romance your life.
Mm.
And this principle is, it's about treating your life like it's someone that's really special to you. It gives you tools to actively engage in a specific approach to your life, and it's an approach that's kind of, I like to say, it's premeditated and magical and exciting, just like it would be your first date.
Okay. I like that.
Those are the 5 principles in a nutshell.
That and that is a real nice, it's very simple, it's
mm-hmm.
simplistic, it's common sense.
Yes.
Exactly what you say it is, it's common sense. If we start to use those principles in our lives, what happens?
Well, I think that for me and for the people that have read the book and have started incorporating the principles, it's really given people a renewed sense of control and a broader perspective, a clearer vision on the choices they have and what they can do with their life. It's really your own personal lump of clay, and you can mold it and shape it and create whatever you decide to out of it. So that's what people understand is, okay, now I not only do I know that I can do that, but now I actually have some tools and strategies to help me figure out how to do that.
Okay, so give us a couple of tips that we can use to start shifting our perspectives today.
Okay. I would say a couple quick, easy ones. Shifting your perspective always is easier, and it really starts when you stop. And by stopping, I mean you stop resisting the reality of what is in your life right now, and you start from a place of acceptance. So whatever you're dealing with in your current life that you wish to change,
mm-hmm.
stop resisting it. Accept where you're at, and accepting it doesn't mean that you don't want to change it. It just means that when you start from that place, you take a deep breath and you go, okay, this is what I have. It is what it is, and I'm going to be able to change it if I just relax and accept that. Because now you're in a different state of mind. You're not closed off. When you're resisting, you're closed off and you're just feeling like you're in constant battle.
Right.
All right. So now you change your state of mind, and you. I know it's hard for a lot of people, but you start by being grateful for, you know, what you do have. You look at what you've got. You look at who's in your life. You look at what's already good. Because when you get so hung up on focusing what you don't have and what you don't like, you tend to get more of it. Right.
So, absolutely. That's
right.
But don't you find though that you're going to have people when you tell them that, and it does seem very simple, and it does seem, as we've said over and over, common sense, you know, be grateful for what you have. It's very difficult for some people to do that because they aren't grateful for what they have. For what they perceive that they have is nothing. Their whole life is awful. They're, you know, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, my husband's horrible, my kids are awful, I don't have enough money, that's the constant focus. And
right.
It's really hard, as I say, usually you get rid of those people. If you can't get them to realign their thinking, you have to get rid of them. But there's got to be a way that we can somehow get them to stop the whining and complaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If And that's just it. You know, not there's a lot of people that are going to say, okay, I'm going to do this. I want change. I want to be better. I want to be happier. But when it comes down to it, they're not really committed to taking the action steps they need to take to achieve that. You can't do it for them. All you can do is say, these are tools. These work if you apply them.
Mm-hmm.
And then right. The rest is up to them. So,
right.
If you shift your perspective and you start with being grateful, now you actually have fertile ground for growth so that you can grow out of the situation that you're in now and make the changes that you wish to make.
What do you want people to – I'm sorry, go ahead.
You go ahead.
I was just going to say, what do you want people to take away once they've read, and everyone should get out and get this book, once they've read – Common Sense Happiness. What's the basic that we're taking away from that?
You're going to take away the knowledge and the tools that now you can achieve freedom from unnecessary suffering in your life. So to me, it's about freedom. Freedom to feel the way that you want to feel. Freedom to create the life that you want to experience, and freedom from not having to suffer anymore.
And I want the reason that we touched before on when I said to you, well, why would people listen to you? How do you qualify? You've had this, from what I stated, this la-la life. And then you told us, no, I haven't had a la-la life. This has happened and this has happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's almost reassuring to know. You know, people want to know that someone who is saying, look, this is why I am happy, right? I've had these things happen, but this is why I'm happy, because I'm choosing it. And that's basically what you're saying. You have chose this way to live. And basically you're sharing, if it works for me, it can work for you. I'm no different than you are. I have the same issues and challenges and problems as you do, but I'm choosing this. And I guess that's what we want to say to the naysayers and the negative people, folks out there, is it's your choice. It's absolutely your choice. If you sit back and let life just go by, then so be it.
Yep.
But that's not my choice. That's not your choice. What's your favorite principle?
Well, I love them all. It's kind of...
it's probably romancing, Laurie. 28 years. I knew it.
It is. Well, you know what? I mean...
That's mine, too, but I just don't stay with anyone long enough to really get it going, but yeah.
I love Romance Your Life because, you know, if you really approach things from that manner, again, it's about molding it how you want, and you know, romance is about being intoxicated with giving and receiving, and that's the most fulfilling part of life.
Yeah. Laurie, we don't have enough time. Our half hour is almost up. I've got to have you back on again. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Keep up the great work.
And thank you so much, Kate.
And how are we going to get a copy of your book and contact you? Where do we go?
Yes, you can go, probably the easiest way, commonsensehappiness.com, and the book is there. My website is connected with that, which is lauriebischoff.com, and you can find me and the book on either one of those.
Awesome. And she's gorgeous. Go look at her photo. I mean, honestly, you've got some sort of recipe. I'm going to read the rest of the book. And loved having you here, everybody. Stay tuned. Next week, my special guest and friend is Neil Crone. He is a well-known actor, award-winning author of several books, including his latest one, Who Farted? Only Neil. He's a survivor of colorectal cancer, and he's just a terrific guy. So please join me next week, Thursday, and make sure to pick up the latest copy of Snap Clarington newspaper because, well, you know, I put it out there for you, and you need to go and look at all the local events going on. Go to www.getfocusradio.com. Brings me to an end. Close. Thank you on behalf of Laurie. Love you, Laurie. Bishop, myself. Wish you a wonderful Thursday and a sunny weekend. See you next week. Bye, everyone.